Kasane, if you'd like to turn to the New Testament reading, you see the page there, 1195, 2 Timothy chapter 1. So I'm reading from verse 8. So, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, so that's about Jesus, or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join me with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I've believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Mark, I've shifted to that. But so please keep that passage open. We'll be referring to it together. We face many choices in life, don't we? Large and small. Choices of what to eat, of what to say or not say, whether to buy an item or save the money, whether to run for the bus or wait for the next one. Lots of choices. In the Bible, God says we have a choice between the way of life and the way of death. And Sally read that from the Old Testament passage. Life comes when we trust God. Death comes when we distrust him and choose our way. Today's passage in the New Testament is about that choice too. So from the Old Testament, Sally read from the time of Moses, long before Jesus came into the world. We're looking at Paul's second letter to Timothy, which is written after Jesus had lived, had died, and risen from the dead. And after Jesus rose, the Bible said he went back to heaven and sent his Holy Spirit to his people. So in Bible timing, this is our period of history. This is where we belong. This is after Jesus has gone and sent the Holy Spirit, is where we are. Paul, who's written this letter, is Jesus' servant who is in prison and expecting to die. He's writing to Timothy, who is a church leader who worked very closely with Paul. And Paul is telling Timothy to choose. That's what the letter's all about. The whole message is that Timothy needs to make a choice. But the choice for Timothy is not just the choice for church leaders. It's a choice we all have to make. And it's the same choice that runs through the Bible. It's the choice between the way of death and the way of life. Which are we going to choose? I've got some headings to help us follow the way through. And if we can have the first slide. Here we go. Don't be ashamed of the gospel or of Paul. That's his instruction. Verse 8. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Now, often today, people, Christian people, will talk about their personal testimony. And what they mean by that is the things God has done in my life. That is my testimony. Here in the Bible, testimony means telling people about things that have happened, not in my life, but things that happened in public. It's the news about Jesus. So it's the testimony about our Lord, the message that Jesus rose from the dead. That's the heart of what Jesus calls the gospel. Don't be ashamed of that testimony, of that message. Now, it would be easy for Timothy to be ashamed of Paul, because Paul, it's not just once, Paul keeps ending up in prison. Paul is in prison for the gospel. That's why he calls himself the Lord's prisoner in verse 8. Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. He's in prison because he's the servant of Jesus. So easy for Paul, for Timothy to be ashamed of Paul or to be ashamed of this message, because they always seem to end up losing. They always seem to end up in a disaster, don't they? Where is the success you'd expect from the Son of God who's gone to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit? Why is Paul and his message, why are they not going around taking over the world? They're in prison. It's useless. So easy to be ashamed. And it's easy to be ashamed of Paul today. Because in the writings of Paul in the New Testament, he says that humans like us, we are guilty people, and we deserve to go to hell. And we needed Jesus to come into this world to save us. Paul says in another place that marriage is for a man and a woman for life. One man and one woman for life. Paul says somewhere else that the role of teaching the church congregation as the leading teacher should be for a man and not for a woman. Now, all of those things are unpopular today. All of those things make it easy to be ashamed of Paul and ashamed of his message. And shame and fear go together, don't they? Our shame makes us afraid of other people, if we're ashamed for some reason. Our fear makes us ashamed to be in front of them. So what does Paul tell Timothy to do? There's an alternative to being ashamed. Look again at verse 8. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me his prisoner. Rather, the other choice, join with me in suffering for the gospel. Join with me in suffering for the gospel. Why do Christians have to suffer? Would you be able to explain that? Why do we have to suffer for the gospel? He's not saying suffer illness. He's not saying suffer redundancy because your company has been badly managed. He said suffer for the gospel. Now, Jesus said, the world hated me, and that means they will hate you too if you follow me. That's why we will suffer. Christians will suffer if people around us are clear that we are followers of Jesus. Because people around us don't like Jesus. And if we're saying we're fans of Jesus, we're followers of Jesus, we're servants of Jesus, well, they don't like Jesus, they're not going to like us. That's why Christians will suffer, because of Jesus. And any normal person resists that, don't we? I mean, who pays for suffering? So the nutters, the masochists. Normal people don't like suffering. But Christians are not normal. Because when Jesus went to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit. And last week we saw the work of the Holy Spirit in Christians. Look in verse 7. For the Spirit God gave us doesn't make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. When we're ashamed, we stand back, we go quiet, we hide. If we are willing to suffer, because the Spirit's in us, we will stand up, we will speak out, and we will keep going. So Paul says, join me in suffering. There's one little phrase I've not yet pointed out, verse 8. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. So you want to see the power of God at work today? Look for Christians who suffer and keep going. That's the power of God at work today. Because that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a Holy Spirit who makes us timid, but is the Spirit of power, of love and self-discipline. It's the power to keep going when people who don't like Jesus don't like us. Don't be ashamed of the gospel or of Paul. Keep going with the gospel, even if it means suffering. Well, that's a hard choice. That's the thing I said from the first few verses last week. In Paul's letter to Timothy, he's giving us a hard choice. In this life, it's hard and disappointing to choose life with God rather than death. What will make Timothy want to do that? And the next slide, the next image on the top here, it says, remember God. That's what the next words are all about, what God has done. Verse 9, so he, talking about God, he has saved us and called us to a holy life. He saved us. We were in danger. But Jesus came into the world that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. He came to make us safe. And God called us to a holy life. He brings us into new life with him. Really important part of this, not because of anything, so verse 9, not because of anything we have done. So God did not call Timothy into his family because of things Timothy had done. If you are a Christian, it is not because you were good enough for God. Hope you understand that. You're not a member, you're not God's child because you were good enough. And if you're not a Christian, I hope you're not confused about this, because many people are. We sang about this in our song, about how you can and can't get to heaven. You can't get to heaven because your uncle's a Christian. You can't get to heaven because you go to church. That doesn't make you a Christian. You can't get to heaven because you do good things. You don't become a Christian because you do good. The Christians, those of us who have understood the message from the Bible, we know we're bad people who have been saved. God calls us to live a holy life. Now we are his family. He doesn't say, if you have a holy life, then you be in my family. It's the other way around. He calls bad people like me and like you into his family, not because of what we've done. And then he says, now you're in my family, live a holy life. And that's why a Christian can say, if you've read my email message, I mentioned this week, a Christian can say, God is pleased with me. I'm right with God. God is pleased with me, and I'm in right with him. Even though we think and say and do wrong things, we can still say that. Because it doesn't depend on what I've done. It doesn't depend on what you have done. It is by God's kindness. So let me show you that in verse 9. He has saved us, verse 9, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. And grace means generosity. So that's how a person could be a Christian, not because of what they've done, but because of God's kindness. And God's grace comes by Jesus. End of verse 9 says, this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Jesus came into the world to deal with death, which is a terrible thing. Death is God's curse. It's a great fear for humans. One day, each one of us will take a final breath in our weak bodies, and that will be it. If there happens to be a family member there with us, they will say they've gone. It's a terrible thing. But Jesus has destroyed death. He beat it. His follower Peter said death was not strong enough to hold on to him. Couldn't hold him into the grave. Jesus burst out of the grave. And so Jesus has brought life and immortality to those who will trust him. These are things that Paul is reminding Timothy of. Remember, God has saved us. He's called us into a new life. And he's done this as a gift for you, not because of your good life. He's done it by his kindness, through the power of Jesus to overcome death. Verse 10. But it is now, so this happened before the beginning of time, verse 10. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He's brought it to light. He's made it clear. He's shown it to us who are in the dark. And he's done that with the gospel. So that the Christian message, Paul's message of the gospel about Jesus rising from the dead, it deals with the biggest things in life. It deals with our death. It deals with the choice between life and death and how we can have true life, which is with God now and forever. Now, Timothy already knows this. He's worked with Paul and served with Paul. But he needs to keep choosing. He needs to keep making the choice for life and not death. And so Paul reminds him, don't be ashamed of the gospel or of Paul, but remember God. So he said back in end of verse 8, join with me in suffering for the gospel of God. And then he said in verse 10 that the gospel is the way to bring to light the message of life. And so Timothy should stick with this message. Verse 13. And the next thing on the board, please. Stay with the gospel. Verse 13. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. So that's the message that he was entrusted with. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Remember what we learned about the Holy Spirit? He means we can go around doing miracles all day, doesn't he? No, it doesn't say that, does it? He's the Spirit who gives us power and love and self-discipline so that we can keep going when we suffer. So keep hold of that message. It's a spoken message. That's why we put an emphasis here on having Bibles in the church so we can read the message. And we put a lot of work into thinking carefully about how to teach and explain the message in our meetings. But because the gospel is not an emotion. It's not a feeling that we get in church. It's not something that happens in a religious ceremony. It's not a feeling when there's beautiful singing. Those can all be very nice things, and I'm glad if you enjoy them. But that's not what Paul's talking about. Do you see, he says in verse 13, what you heard from me, you keep as the pattern of sound teaching. This is words that people hear in their ears and understand in their minds, and they teach to their children and they explain to their neighbors and they remember and they tell people later. It's a life-giving message. Paul calls it sound words. We hear the news of Jesus, we trust him, and we have life with God. But the pressure is on you Christians, the pressure is on me as a pastor to alter this message and to make it more comfortable for people around us who don't want it. The pressure is to make our message fit our society, to cut out the bits that are unpopular or difficult, or the bits that are embarrassing. The pressure is on. So Paul says, Timothy, with the help of the Holy Spirit, guard this message. Verse 14. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Do we want to be a Pentecostal church? Do we want to have the Holy Spirit at work in us? We are going to hold on to the message and teach it faithfully. How might we be tempted? Let me give you some ideas of some of the ways that we can go wrong here, so that, you know, if you spot that happening, you can wake up and spot it. The gospel is about a God who lives, and acts and tells us the way to life and warns us of the way to death. Now, we may be ashamed of that in a culture that doesn't want to know about God, a culture that's more it's bothered about our things. So churches will change and they will make their message, their activities, all about looking after the environment and having good morals and fighting for world peace. Okay, I don't know if you're aware of that. That happens. Some churches, that's what they end up being about, because that's what our society is about. The gospel is about Jesus. God's grace comes to us in Jesus, it says. Well, people are ashamed of Jesus. And so they'll make the message of the Christian life all about, well, church. Come look at our church. Look at all the different people in our church and what a nice group of people we are. That's our message. What a nice church we are. Or what good feelings I have when I'm there in church on Sunday. Come along and you'll have good feelings too. And we push Jesus out because it's a bit embarrassing. The gospel says, God didn't choose me because of good things I'd done. God chooses bad people and forgives them. Well, we don't like that. And so people will change the message to say it's about living a good life and having good morals. It's what happens in Church of England schools, unfortunately. Instead of telling the children there is a God and there is a way to death and there's a way to life, it just becomes, well, let's help you to be good people. That's what our society wants. We want our children to be good people. Christians want our children to be good people. That's not the gospel message. The gospel message is about the living God and that we can know him. One last way that we get this wrong. The gospel does say that when God put me into his family, not because of good things I've done, but he calls me so I will now live a holy life. And people are ashamed of talking about that. I say it's not a sin for you to live with your girlfriend until we arrange for the traditional wedding to happen in Africa. It's a long time for that. So you live with your girlfriend for now. Or the white British version of that. Is this okay for you to live with your girlfriend because you've spent some money on a house and you can't afford a wedding? So get the house first, live together, and then you can pay for the wedding later. That's okay. That's not okay, because God has called us to a holy life. Don't be ashamed of the gospel or of Paul. Remember God, and so stay with the gospel. And to help Timothy, Paul has written here about two people who have made opposite choices here. Let me read to you 15 to 18. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. They've chosen one thing. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. He chose the other thing. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. Paul says, you know, Timothy, you know about these two things. You know everyone in Asia, so that's what we now call Turkey. But in Romans times, what we call Turkey, that was the Asian province in the Roman Empire. All of the people who used to be Christians with me, they haven't stayed with me. When I went to court, suddenly they weren't my friends. We saw that with Donald Trump, if you saw that in the news. You know, some of the people who were his great friends in the past, it suits them not to be now. Well, with Paul, I'm not saying Paul's like Donald Trump, but I'm saying in that sense, you know, he was abandoned, he was deserted. But one man, Onesiphorus, was unlike the rest. He wasn't ashamed. He went to visit the prisoner. So there are the two choices. Be ashamed and avoid Paul and avoid his message, or be unashamed and stay with Paul. Now, what will this look like? None of us can go and visit Paul in prison because he now has died and is with the Lord. I don't think the Bible is expecting any of us is going to go out and get killed for Jesus this afternoon. I'm not saying that sort of conflict is going to happen. What it will mean is that we pray as a church that God helps us stay faithful to the message. It will mean that we, each of us, pray for ourselves, not just the vicar, but each Christian. Lord, help me have opportunities to be known as a believer, that people will know I come to church, that I'm a person who follows Jesus, and that maybe I'll be able to say, I go to church, would you like to come? Or maybe I will be able to say, we learned about Jesus this weekend, let me tell you something I learned. Pray for that. Imagine we do that. Imagine all the Christians here do that. And next week we come back. What would it be like? Well, perhaps two of us will come back and say, that's great. My friend wants to come to church. Two of us. Perhaps 10 of us will say, nothing really happened. I prayed, but the week was so busy, I actually forgot to mention to my friend. It didn't feel like it worked. And maybe 40 of us will say, it was difficult. They were angry. They say, I'm unkind to believe in what Paul teaches. And we'll all look at the two who had a good time and say, what did you do? How can we be like you? And if they've understood the Bible, they will say, well, what happened to us was unusual. And yes, the gospel does bring light. But don't you remember from the Bible last week, we can expect to suffer. If we hold on to the gospel, we can expect to suffer. That will be the normal. But we do it because sometimes that light will break through. And because it is the way of life for us to stay faithful to that message, because we need it for ourselves as well as speaking it to those around us. Don't be ashamed of the gospel or of Paul. Remember God and stay with the gospel. Let's have a moment's quiet, and then I will lead us in praying. Oh, Almighty God, we thank you that we have not come here this morning just to be in a building and sing some songs and have a cheerful hello to people who are like us, but we have come to meet with you, the living God, the one who points us to the ways of life and the ways of death, and calls us away from the way of death. Almighty God, these are big issues, and you've told us here in the Bible that to follow the way of life means potentially losing out in this life, losing out in this world, losing out in this society. Give us faith, please, to trust that what you've said is true. Help us as a church to remain loyal to your teaching, even if people around us don't like it. We pray for every one of us that at some point this week we might have a point at which we can say something about Jesus, who has brought life and immortality to light. And we pray that that would have a good effect. But even if it doesn't, and if it's awkward and uncomfortable, that we would stay faithful. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Bob.